The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel 17, the verses 17 through 51. And the text of the sermon is based on 1 Samuel 17, verse 34a and 37. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag. in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Again, the text for the sermon is based on 1 Samuel 17, verse 34a, and verse 37. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep." And verse 37, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" And as a response to the sermon, let us sing from Psalter 4, stanza 5. The theme of our sermon is David's faith in God. Beloved congregation, we do not know the age at which David definitely was born again, but certainly very early in life he was brought by God's grace to a place where he felt his need of divine help. And when he was a youth, he learned to lean upon God and to see the hand of God in all his personal experiences. David loved to be with the sheep that belonged to his father Jesse. He loved the sheep too, especially, so we think, in the springtime when the little white lambs ran among the mother's sheep, jumping and playing with each other in the sunshine. David would then pick up his harp and play sweet music that echoed around the hills like the wind. And he would join in and sing so that the songs sounded as if they were lifted above the earth. David loved his mother dearly. He had often heard from her lips the wonderful stories of all that God had done for his fathers in the days of old. And David was no softy. If necessary, he could stand on his heels and face lion, bear, or wolf. David knew that the things his mother had told him about the great God who rules in the heavens were all true. It may be that he had heard the well-loved story of the great prophet Samuel. At that time, Samuel was a very old man. But when he was a young lad, he had heard the voice of God, of the Lord calling him. Just as Samuel had answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears," so David's young heart was waiting to hear the voice of the Lord and to obey. Even before young David heard, in a very special way, the voice of God, the Lord had chosen him and was providing for himself a king from among the sons of Jesse, and was taking him from the sheepfold, from following the sheep. For when the Lord calls us to follow him, he does not tell us what he will do with us. He may call us to some positions of honor, or he may call us to fill some lonely place of service. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? That is what David sang in Psalm 119. He gives the answer to that question in the same verse, which we have sung. Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. Sincerely I have sought thee, Lord, O let me not from thee depart. To know thy word and keep from sin, thy word I cherish in my heart. This was David's practice in early youth. O Lord, thy word I cherish in my heart. Fathers and mothers, boys and girls, I would like to impress upon you that no life can be well lived if the foundations are not laid in the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and which shall stand forever. In our days, above all other days, parents and friends may well be deeply concerned for the future of any young man or young woman who goes out into life without the word of God, and therefore without God. Certainly life's journey always has been a dangerous journey, but it is a fact that temptations are multiplied. There are more pitfalls than ever prepared for the feet of those who are not watchful. Possibly, in all the world's history, it has never been more difficult for young people to live uprightly than it is today. It is absolutely necessary that every boy and every girl should come to know God early and to know Christ early. Oh, we may rejoice and remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd of his people, is the Savior of the children. He loved to take the little children in his arms when he was here on earth and to bless them. He is still the same. He said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Savior. He is the only Savior, and he is a complete Savior. He declared he was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, that he is the door into the sheepfold, and that he gives to the sheep eternal life. He promises that he will always care for the sheep. Neither the lion nor bear shall ever pluck them out of his hands. There is no salvation for boys and girls, for men and women, in any other than in Jesus Christ. There is only one safe place. Do you not see that in this world, especially nowadays, there is no safety anymore? The safety that we enjoy is relative. There is only one safe place for any of us, and that is to be held in the hand of the Son of God himself. He has come, according to his own words, to seek and to save that which is lost. When he saves us, he comes to take us, possess us, to hold us and to secure us from all harm and injury, for time and for eternity. Blessed are you who seek him early and diligently, for this is his promise: I love those who love me, and those who seek me early. That does not mean in early in years, but it means those who seek me diligently. Those who seek me early and diligently shall find me. In the second place, let us also follow David's life a little and see how this young servant of God served the Lord. From our text, we learn, first of all, that he served the Lord in caring for his father's sheep. It is a difficult thing when young people go away from home, whether to school or to work. But especially difficult when young people begin to work for their own fathers. Generally speaking, it's a great deal easier to work for a stranger than it is to go into business with father, because the boy usually expects to have somewhat easier time than if he were working for a stranger. It is to David's credit that although he worked for his father, he worked faithfully. And he stuck to his task, which his father had given him to do. There are some boys and girls who find it difficult to stick to anything, but they will also find it difficult to do anything in life successfully. David kept his father's sheep, and he worked as faithfully for his father as he could have done for a stranger. Herein lay the secret of the success of all his following career. It was a humble task, just keeping his father's sheep. We know what was in David. He was a great soldier in the making. He was a great poet, for no one has ever sung so sweetly as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a musician. He had it in him to sit upon a throne and govern a kingdom, and to speak on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to speak of the coming Messiah, Jesus, the Son of David. In this he was a type of Christ. No doubt when David was just a boy, he already felt all these powers within him. Is that not the experience of so many of whom God has used to bring to pass great things? In his early days, such a man had his dreams of those things. He felt those powers that God had put within him, and he knew that someday he would have an important task in life. No doubt David must have felt like that. Those marvelous psalms were there, struggling for expression. His fingers longed to pluck the strings of that wondrous harp of his. Maybe he even thought about it, to fight in the army of Israel. Yet when his father said, "David, go down over there into the wilderness and look after those sheep," David did not say, "I'm too big for that." No, he accepted the humblest task as from God. He went at it and he did it well. Have you ever heard the story? It's a story of a distinguished member of Parliament who delivered a great speech in the House of Commons, thrilling the House by his eloquence, by the strength of his arguments. When he resumed his seat, it was either his first speech or one of his earliest speeches. Someone asked, "And who is that?" Someone nearby said, "Oh, that is so-and-so. He shined my father's boots when he was a boy." The orator overheard him, turning to him and said, "Yes, sir. And did I not shine them well? You see, there is something in the boy who knows how to clean his own shoes, or someone else's shoes, how to shine them well." Whatever David did it well. He did it thoroughly, because he served God. And whatsoever he did it to the glory of God. Beloved, how is it with us in our daily work? Have you learned to pray and to practice? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is, according to the explanation of our catechism, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend and to perform the duties of his station and calling, as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. That is the work of God's grace in the hearts of his people. There is no place in a Christian's life for careless service anywhere, whether it's in washing dishes or shining shoes or keeping sheep or attending to the garden or shoveling the snow or dusting the house or cleaning the rugs. Whatever it is, we ought to be ashamed to do anything half-heartedly. David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep." Any task that David did was well done. God's men are usually made in the wilderness. You remember that great man of whom the Lord Jesus said that among those who were born of women has not risen a greater than John the Baptist? And of whom Jesus said further, what went you out to in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A weak, soft, compromising, good for nothing? Is that what you expected to see in the wilderness? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Then he said, those who are clothed in soft raiment and fare delicately are in king's palaces. John the Baptist was made a man and a prophet, not in king's houses, but in the wilderness, in the hard places of life. That is what God calls his servants to. Not to an easy task, but some obscure position. It is good for a man. So we read in Lamentations 3, verse 27, 28. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sits alone and keeps silence, because he has laid it upon him, namely for his benefit. Then another thing, the smallest job on earth will afford opportunity for the exercise of manly qualities, if they are there to be exercised. David might have said, what's the use of a shepherd's staff? I would like to get on a uniform like my big brother who has joined the army. I would like to join the army too. I would like to have my sword by my side and go out and do some great task. But Father said, David, just go down and look after those sheep. That was his job. You know the story, do you not? That while he was looking after the sheep, there came a lion and a bear. And this did not happen only once, but it happened at least more than once that David had to fight with a lion or a bear until the cruel beast rolled over and died. You will always have the opportunities to find lions and bears. If you are a real Christian, your adversary, the devil, says the Apostle Peter, walks about as a roaring lion, whom he may devour. Moreover, you will find a lion or a bear in your own heart. There is a lion enough there, and a bear enough too, if you know what I mean. There are evil lusts of the flesh against which we have to struggle all our life long. Indeed, there are plenty of bears to kill. There are plenty of evils to overcome. Temper, impatience, an unruly tongue, selfishness, covetousness. Every kind of evil will attack you in the wilderness. There is plenty of opportunity to show what is in you. You can be sure of this. The boy or girl or man or woman who does not succeed in the wilderness, the person who does not keep the sheep committed to him, who does not daily come across the lion and the bear on his path and prays, O God, grant me to finish the day as before thee, successfully through the power of the Holy Spirit. The man or woman who does not do that in obscure places will not have any place worth mentioning. David surely had rather a hard task one day when his father said to him, I want you to go to the camp of Saul. I want you to take some provisions for your older brothers up there and some cheeses for the captain of their company. And you are to inquire after their health and come back to let me know. So David went up to the camp. Oh, we know what was in him. It must have been rather difficult for him to go like an errand boy with a basket under his arm up to the camp. And you know what he found when he got there? Soon he found himself among the soldiers of Israel facing the enemy. They told of him of the things that a certain fighter of the enemy, by the name of Goliath, was saying, and how afraid they were of that man. While David was talking to the soldiers, Eliab, his oldest brother, came by. He was very angry at David. Ah, he sneered, why did you come here? And With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know why you have come. It's because you think you are somebody and because you wanted to see the battle. You see, Eliab supposed, we rather think, Eliab supposed that everybody was looking to see Eliab to do some great thing. What was more natural than that his younger brother should have left the sheep to go to see his big brother in action? We should not be surprised if David had lost his temper and if he had said, Eliab, do not think that I came down to see you do anything. Oh, these are little things. But when a big brother looks down on a little brother and tells him to go down and look after his sheep, especially if that little brother is the bigger of the two in reality, it is pretty difficult for him to hold his peace. But David was well-mannered. Instead of beating evil with unkindness, he only said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? David then turned from Eliab and said no more. Ah, David never ran away from a lion or a bear, but he was quick to run away from that big brother of his, not because he was afraid of him, but he was a little afraid of himself. He thought to himself, I'd better put a little distance between us until he's cooled off. Then he turned away to another man and said, tell me what this giant is saying. There's a sense in which that old saying is true, that he who fights and runs away will fight to live another day. Sometimes it is a good thing to turn away from people. And when you have a little difficulty at home, like with a brother Eliab, do not argue the point. Just leave it to him. He that is slow to anger, so we read in Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. As for David, he had won his first victory. He had shown that those who can overcome evil with good, like the Lord himself, are strongest in the fight. Is that not what Paul says in Romans 12, verse 21? Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. At last, this modest young man, for that's what David was, had the courage to accept the challenge of the giant. The giant had been saying, choose out a man from among you who can fight, and let him come down to me. If he can kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, then you must be our servants and serve us. And as if that bragging were not enough, he tossed his head in the air and shouted so that all could hear his deep voice. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. Day by day, this great giant came down with his armor-bearer, who was carrying his great brass shield in front of him. He had a helmet of brass and an armor of brass. The poor Israelites were so full of fear that they did not know what to do. David went to the king and made his proposal, and David had not been to a military college. He did not know anything about war. Saul was surprised at David's offer. Why, said he, that is funny, my son, you are only a youth, and this giant has been a man of war from his youth. Some people are so very modest, so very humble, especially when there is any danger, and say, I am not able to do that task. They call it modesty. It may be cowardice. What we learn from David's example is this. When you come face to face with some great task in life, if God has called you and you feel by the goings of God upon your own spirit that you have it in you to do it to be modest, to say, I will do it. David was not too modest. He said to Saul, your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. There is a preparation of the wilderness that makes a man ready for anything. So when Saul said, you never did fight a giant, did you? David said, no. You never did go against the Philistines to battle. No. You never did wear armor, a helmet of brass, a shield, and use a great sword. No. Well, said Saul, put them on anyhow, and let us see how they fit you. So David got Saul's armor on and rattled around in it. But he put them off, saying, I cannot fight that way. I cannot go out with these. I will do the job if you will let me do it, but I will do it my own way. I've had my experience. I slew a lion and a bear, and I never did it at all, but God did it through me. David had learned to recognize God in all the little things of life, and by the deliverance wrought in the obscure and wild places, he had laid up a store of knowledge and of experience that served him in times of need, when troubles round him swelled, when fears and dangers pressed upon him. There is something like that in spiritual life. If you go back to the wilderness and keep your father's sheep, you are not wasting any time. Moses did not waste any time as a shepherd. John the Baptist wasted no time in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul wasted no time in his years of preparation after his conversion. There is a storing up of experimental knowledge and of spiritual strength. David says, the Lord has helped me so many times in the little things of life that I am strong for this great occasion. Beloved, that is where we get our faith. Walking humbly with God day by day. We think someday when we have a great task, we will send a prayer to heaven for a great faith, and that suddenly overnight we will become a hero. Nothing of the kind. Heroes are not made that way. It may be that a man suddenly appears to be a hero, but behind all that, there are years of patient toil and quiet walking with God and the storing up of spiritual strength that makes the man at last to say, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. For what can man do unto me? On Psalm 118. Boys and girls, fathers and mothers, are you getting your preparation? Listen to David's testimony. The Lord, who delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the bear's paws of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. The time had now come for action. Stepping forward toward the enemies of the armies of the Philistines, David took his shepherd's staff in one hand and a sling in the other. Very soon he found himself alone in that place where none had dared to go. His own people were behind his back. The enemy was in front, but David was not alone, for the Lord was by his side. It was not long before he came to the brook, and for a moment he was lost to view as he bent down to choose 5 smooth stones to put in his little bag or scrip that was tied around his waist. Climbing up the bank of the stream on the other side, David found himself in the enemy's land, and he knew that there was no going back. He was heading straight for the armies of the Philistines. By the way, somebody might ask, why did David choose 5 smooth stones from the brook? Well, Dr. Shields tells a story of a farmer in South Africa who was an expert marksman, as they are reputed to be, going duck shooting, and the friend who accompanied him noticed that he had only 2 cartridges. Why, said he, you only have got 2 cartridges? Well, he replied, I only want 2 ducks. He made no provisions for missing anything. David belonged to that company of men who could sling a stone to a hair's breadth and not miss. But remember, it was not done without much practice. When he was still a boy, he had practiced with that sling day after day and hour after hour. until he could put a stone dead on the mark every time. He knew that no boy or girl can do anything really well without much work and practice. David might not have known how to handle a great sword or a great shield, but he knew how to handle that sling. He was confident of that in his heart. He took his 5 stones and he was unmoved by the boastful and scornful challenge of the Philistine, even though he laughed at him. And boys do not like to be laughed at. When a boy can stand to be laughed at, he has got the makings of a man in him. And when a girl can stand up against the laughter of her friends, she has the qualities that will distinguish her in the future. There are a great number of people who can fight and withstand almost anything, but they cannot fight a laugh. The giant laughed at David, disdained him, cursed him by his heathen gods, and said, "Am I a dog that you come to knock me down with a stick? I will soon make an end of you. Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Oh, beloved, we might find inspiration in David's glorious reply. "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You know the rest of the story. He only used one stone, only one. Around his head he whirled it, and the stone was speeding towards the giant before he knew what was happening. The stone was dead on its mark. It hit Goliath on his forehead between the eyes. It sank straight into the giant's head, and his great body fell to the ground, face down, smitten by David. No, by Almighty God. Through a boy who had given himself to God. That is how it was done. Nothing is impossible to a boy or girl, a man or woman whom God chooses to use. He will use any of us if we yield ourselves to the Lord. He will do the same miracles today by working of His Holy Spirit in our hearts. If we come, no, it is not because of our coming, but I say, if we come and submit to Him and say with Isaiah, "O Lord, here I am, send me." There was no sword in the hand of David, so we read, but David ran forward once again and, standing on the giant's back, grasped his sword and drew it out of his sheath and cut off the giant's head. Goliath was so sure of getting the victory that he had not even withdrawn his sword from his sheath. He probably thought that one blow with his great spear would be enough to lay David low on the ground. The giant made the same mistake the enemies of God often make when they despise the people of God. He felt so strong in himself and thought God's people to be so weak that he reckoned the battle to be as good as won. But the battle was not Goliath's, no, not even David's. The battle was the Lord's. That is what David cried out when he ran toward the giant. The battle is the Lord's. It was Israel's God and King sent David to the fight, who gave him strength to sling and skill to aim aright. "Ye fearful saints, your strength endures, because young David's God is yours." So as we come to a close, I repeat what I said in the beginning of this sermon. It is absolutely necessary that every boy or girl, yea, all men, should come to know God early and know Christ early. I mentioned it already. David was a type of Christ. Christ is called the Son of David. He came to accept the challenge of the giant of all giants, even Beelzebub himself, the Prince of Darkness. "Send me a man to fight with me." You remember how Christ, the anointed of the Lord, accepted the challenge. The Lord Jesus came into the world, and at the place called Calvary, he met him. He defeated him and put his conquering heel upon the neck of man's worst enemy. For this purpose, says John, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he did, and so he is still doing. In Christ, who slew the father of all the giants, who met the host of hell and defeated the prince of this world, in Christ we may be victorious for time and eternity. Beloved, each and every one of you, have you already given up yourself to him and unto him? Delay not, lest his anger rise, and you should perish in your way. Lo, all that put their trust in him are blessed indeed, and blessed for aye. Amen.